'Twas the night before Jesus, when all through the earth every creature was stirring for a new baby's birth. Words from the night before Jesus, Concordia Publishing House's new Christmas book. The night before Jesus would make a great Christmas gift for children, grandchildren, and godchildren ages 3 through 5. Browse before you buy at issuesetc.org or call 1-800-325-3040. The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for December, The Night Before Jesus.
Now pay close attention, little children. It's somebody you ought to know. Yeah, it's all about a man that walked on earth nearly 2,000 years ago. Well, he healed the sick and afflicted. And
the forerunner of Christ is a prophet. Some have said the last prophet of the Old Testament. Some said the first of the New. He is unique in a lot of ways. He even has a prophecy about him in the New Testament. It's spoken not by Malachi, that's the Old Testament one, but it is spoken by his father, Zechariah. And that prophecy says, you will be a prophet of the Most High. You will prepare his way. Certainly rooted in that promise in the Old Testament of the one who would come, a voice in the wilderness, calling men to repent so that when Christ comes in his judgment to be judged for the sins of the world in the place of the world, they might receive the forgiveness of sins. Why is he named John and not Zechariah? That's a good question, because that's the conflict at his birth. What should he be named? Joining us to teach a Sunday school lesson on the birth of John the Baptist in Luke chapter 1, Pastor Tom Baker. He's host of a radio show called Law and Gospel. Tom, welcome back.
Thank you.
Why is he named John and not after his father, Zechariah?
When John the Baptizer was born, the people expected him to be named after his father because that was a custom. And the answer to your question comes about with, again, another Reformation principle. Scripture interprets Scripture. And, of course, when the angel had come to Zechariah and telling him about the birth of John through his aged wife, he did not really believe it, and he became mute. But part of the message that he was given, and this is found in Luke chapter 1, verse 13. Do not be afraid, Zechariah, for your prayer has been heard, and your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you shall call his name John. So, Zechariah, when he tells the people, and since he is mute, he can't do that except by writing it down. And as soon as he wrote it down, John, the problem with his voice went away and he was able to speak. And so that's why he's named John, because that's what the angel communicated to Zechariah from God himself as to his name.
The Hebrew of that name, John, actually means Yahweh is gracious. What can we...
Yes, the Lord has shown favor.
What can we infer from the Lord himself naming this baby that name?
It reminds us of Mary when she was told about the birth of Jesus. The angel said the Lord has favored her. It doesn't mean that Mary was the favorite of God among all the other women any more than it will mean that John the Baptizer will be the favorite person. It's actually an action by God in favoring Mary, who was a sinner and did not deserve to be the mother of God, and John the Baptizer, who also was a sinner and did not deserve to be the forerunner of God. And we can get that across to the Sunday school children, that they too have been favored by God because of their baptism, where God has forgiven their sins and given them the gift of the Holy Spirit. So that God would even call John what he called him, meaning the Lord has shown favor, is very important, that it doesn't say, and the Lord takes John as his favorite. No, the Lord has shown favor. And that's very close to saying the Lord is gracious, which means he gives to John a gift that he does not deserve.
So the baby is born, and Zechariah is finally able to speak. And when he is able to speak, he prophesies. In fact, we're told that he's filled with the Holy Spirit and prophesies regarding his son. What does he have to say?
He begins with, "Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he has visited and redeemed his people." Now, there's so much there to talk about, but the very fact of redemption is very important. It's found throughout the Old Testament. For example, in Deuteronomy 7:8, "The Lord loves you, and because he would keep his oath, which he swore to your fathers, the Lord has brought you out," that's out of Egypt, "with a mighty hand, and redeemed you from the house of bondage." It's found in all over the place, Nehemiah 1:10. "Now these are your servants and your people, who you have redeemed by your great power and by your strong hand." And we know who's at the right hand of God, none other than Jesus himself. And then we've got, even in the New Testament, 1 Peter chapter 1:18 really helps us understand this. "Knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things." Normally, the term redemption was used to buy a slave his freedom, buy him out of slavery. "But Jesus did not redeem us with corruptible things," verse 18 goes on, "like silver or gold from your aimless conduct received by tradition from your fathers, but he redeemed you instead with the precious blood of Christ as a lamb without blemish and without spot." So right away, Zacharias, as he is saying this prophecy, he is filled with the Holy Spirit and recognizes that the Lord God of Israel has come and he has visited and redeemed his people. And the next line says, "and has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David." Now, horn of salvation, that might not be understood by the children, but animals with horns were considered to be powerful. And therefore, a horn of salvation would be a powerful person. And as Isaiah talks about, one of the names of Jesus is Mighty One, or he is God the Almighty. And therefore, that's where we get this idea of horn of salvation. He has the power to save in the house of his servant David. And we know that if you take a look at the line from Adam and Eve to Jesus, it goes through the house of David. And all this was spoken by the mouth of his holy prophets from of old. And then verse 71 gives the purpose, "that we should be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all who hate us, to show the mercy promised to our fathers and to remember his holy covenant." Now, we've got a question here. Which covenant? There was a covenant given through Moses, the covenant of the law, but there was another covenant, and that was the one given through Abraham. And so our question is answered in the very next verse, 73. "The oath that he swore to our father Abraham to grant us, that we, being delivered from the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear." Now, that wasn't true with the oath that the people made with Moses on Mount Sinai. Because there they said, "all these things we will do and obey." And of course, that didn't last long with the golden calf, etc. So there's a real fear under the Mosaic covenant because nobody can keep the law perfectly. And therefore, the book of Hebrews is the best book to read as to a distinction between the Old Covenant and the New Covenant, or the Old Testament and the New Testament. The word Testament is not used in the Bible to refer to the books of the Bible. It refers to God's covenant or agreement with his people. And we make a distinction of that with law and gospel. Moses' covenant was one of law, and there's always fear there because a person knows that if they're not breaking God's law, obviously from action, they're probably doing it by thought or by word, as Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount expresses. So to remember his holy covenant, the big difference in this context would be the old covenant of Moses was one that was based on our promises that we would follow his will. The new covenant is based on God's promises. And Abraham saw that clearly. He had a vision. Well, they were sacrificed animals, and there was a path between them. And the only one walking down was representing God himself. Normally, when a victor takes over a defeated nation, they both walk down the path and agree to the covenant that is made. But in this case, the only promises of the new covenant are God's promises. And the book of Hebrews even makes that point. Therefore, it is a far better covenant, the new one, because it is based on better promises. And so the promises of Abraham are far superior to the promises of the Mosaic covenant because we now can serve God without fear.
Pastor Tom Baker is our guest, host of the radio show called Law and Gospel. We're teaching a Sunday school lesson on the birth of John the Baptist. We'll go on with the prophecy that pertains to John himself on the other side. "'Twas the night before Jesus, when all through the earth every creature was stirring for a new baby's birth. Words from the night before Jesus, Concordia Publishing House's new Christmas book. The night before Jesus would make a great Christmas gift for children, grandchildren, and godchildren ages 3 through 5. Browse before you buy at issuesetc.org or call 1-800-325-3040. The Issues Etc. book of the month for December, The Night Before Jesus.
Our cities are some of the greatest mission fields on the planet, but the footprint of the church is shrinking. We dare not shrink from our cities. Christ is needed now in our urban areas. From chaos, turmoil, decay, death, and destruction, Jesus brings peace, hope, resurrection, eternal life, and rebuilding. And you can help by being a hero for the city. Find out how at lcms.org/citymission or on Facebook at LCMS City Mission. Every city needs a hero. Capes and helmets not required.
You can teach lay people theology. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Lutheran Federal Credit Union was formed to serve you and to serve the church. During December, when you open a Lutheran FCU loan to meet your financial needs or when you use your Lutheran FCU credit card for a qualifying amount of purchases, Lutheran FCU will give you cash back and give that same amount of money to their Ministry of the Month, Ministry Focus. Learn more at LutheranFCU.org. Lutheran FCU, good for you, good for the church. LutheranFCU.org.
Relevant worship isn't about trying to look and act like the rest of the world to appeal to the culture around us, but relevant worship is about Christ. Hope Lutheran Church of Birmingham brings you truly relevant worship, where sinners gather to hear God's word and receive his gifts of forgiveness and peace. Visit us online at hopebham.org. That's hopebham.org. Or give us a call at 205-956-1930. We'll see you Sunday.
We're teaching a Sunday school lesson on the birth of John the Baptist in Luke chapter 1. I'm Todd Wilkin. You're listening to Issues Etc. Our guest is Pastor Tom Baker. Have you thought about giving a loved one a subscription to the Lutheran Witness magazine as a Christmas gift? It's available in print and online. The Lutheran Witness interprets the contemporary world from a Lutheran perspective. Find out more at cph.org/witness, cph.org/witness. Tom, staying with the prophecy of Zechariah there at John's birth, he turns his attention to the child. Up to this point, he's really been prophesying about Jesus Christ, but he does say, "You, my child." What does Zechariah prophesy regarding John?
John is considered to be the first prophet since the Old Testament books. And you, child, referring to John the Baptizer, will be called the prophet of the Most High. And that, of course, is God's word through the angel. For you will, this is important, to go before the Lord to prepare his ways. Now, I don't know if you've ever watched any trips people are making through Africa, but a lot of times they'll have one or two men ahead of them with long knives, cutting down bushes, etc., to kind of make a pass so that people could walk through the jungle. And that's kind of what John the Baptizer ends up doing. The language they use there isn't cutting down leaves that are in your way, but instead talks about that the hills will be made low. That means proud people will be put in their place, and those who are in valleys, those who are depressed, will be comforted. And he's doing that through a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. In fact, the forgiveness of sins is even mentioned in verse 77, that John the Baptizer is coming to prepare the way for the Lord, to give knowledge of salvation to his people in the forgiveness of their sins. Now, how's that done? Well, it's kind of like me trying to sell a yo-yo. And people say, what do I need a yo-yo for? And I say, well, look, if you do a certain trick with it, like put it down and bring it back up, I'll give you $100. Oh, now they want a yo-yo. Before, they didn't need one because they didn't know they had a need for it. John the Baptizer's main mission was to provide a message about the need for the forgiveness of sins, and he did that by talking about repentance. In fact, Jesus himself, when he talks about the kingdom of God is upon you, he says, repent and believe in the gospel. Repentance is our way of saying, I have nothing to give God to offset my sins. Believing in the gospel means to believe the promises of the work of Christ, his birth, his death, his resurrection, his ascension, and much more, and the promises connected to that, so that he that believes and is baptized shall be saved. So John the Baptizer's baptism was not a sacramental baptism as was Pentecost, because nobody received the gift of the Holy Spirit, but they did receive a ceremonial understanding of the need to repent in preparation for the coming of the Christ, the Messiah.
And in the last part of that prophecy, he returns again to talking about Jesus Christ when he introduces the sunrise shall visit us, whereby from on high, and the light for those who sit in darkness and shadow. What's he talking about there?
What he's talking about is Jesus himself is referred to as the morning star, the sun or a star that you see in the morning to give light to those who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death. I'm driving to congregations, and I'm on the highway around 4 a.m. on Sunday mornings, and I actually am facing the way the sun comes up. And it's very interesting. Right now, about 6:30, things begin to get lightened, but you still don't see the sun. And yet the sun, because it has not yet come above the horizon, is still there, and it is providing light where you don't need your headlights as well. But those were people who sat in darkness and in the shadow of death. Now, what does that mean? Well, when you are born with that sin, original sin, you are always in the shadow of death because that's the curse of the law. The day that you sin, death will be the result. And therefore, we're always sitting in the shadow of death until Jesus, the light, arises in our hearts through faith, and we believe his promises. And what's the purpose that Jesus comes to us? It's the same word used by the angels to the shepherds, used by Jesus a number of times, used by Jesus on the night of the resurrection, the first word he says to his disciples. It's the word peace. And that's how the prophecy ends. Zechariah says, to give light to those who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. Now notice who the subject is that is guiding us. It's not my mind, it's not my wisdom, it's not my choice, it's not my decision. It's Jesus who guides us, as Romans 10 says, and faith comes by hearing the word of God. So again and again, God is seen to be the subject of my salvation, and there's nothing I can do as an unbeliever in order to offset my sins. Jesus does it by redeeming us by his shed blood and then transferring that redemption over to us through faith by hearing the word or by holy baptism.
With 30 seconds, what's the simple law and gospel for the Sunday school children from the birth of John the Baptist?
The simple law is we would never be able to tell God what we are doing in order to offset our sins, because nothing we do is good enough to do that. So the gospel is Jesus came and was proclaimed by John the Baptist by speaking about repentance. And in that way, when we hear of our sins and repent of them, we are now prepared for the hearing of the forgiveness of sins.
Pastor Tom Baker is host of a radio show called Law and Gospel. Tom, thank you very much for your time.
Thank you.
Shane Morris is with us on the other side of the break. From Breakpoint, we're going to talk about the millennial generation's view of the good life and its future consequences. Thank you for donating almost $70,000 to Issues Etc. in the past 3 weeks. With 2 weeks left in 2018, we're $35,000 short of projected expenses. Please consider making a year-end tax-deductible gift online at issuesetc.org. You can also contribute by check, make your check payable to Issues Etc., and send it to Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Thanks for listening, and thanks for thinking of Issues Etc. at the end of the year.
Jesus is the reason for the season. How often do we hear that this time of year? But what if just for a moment we shifted our focus away from the holly jolly holiday season and simply said, Jesus is the reason, period. Join John Kleinig, Heidi Sias, and others as they explore the great and wondrous mystery of Christ's incarnation in the December issue of The Lutheran Witness. Visit cph.org/witness to subscribe today. The Lutheran Witness. Interpreting the contemporary world from a Lutheran Christian perspective.
Many Lutheran pastors outside of the U.S. receive little or no seminary education. Luther Academy provides theological triage through conferences, books, and journals. Help support Luther Academy by making a tax-deductible donation at lutheracademy.com or call 260-452-2211. Serving Lutheran pastors to the ends of the earth. Luther Academy, 260-452-2211. 452-2211 or lutheracademy.com.
This is Dr. Daniel Gard, president of Concordia University Chicago, with a message for parents, grandparents, and godparents of college-bound children. Concordia University Chicago is a distinctive, comprehensive university of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, and we are committed to our Lutheran confession and heritage. Please encourage the student in your life to check out Concordia University Chicago at cuchicago.edu.
Expert guests, expansive topics, extolling Christ. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Are you tired of working out at big box gyms? You'll find quality personal training and qualified instruction at Performance Fitness in Edwardsville. You can even work out for a full 30 days before making a commitment to join. Find out more at performancefitness618.com or call 618-692-5063. Performance Fitness is the facility in the St. Louis Metro East where the focus is on member results, not membership numbers. Performancefitness618.com.
Several Issues Etc. regular guests are candidates for leadership positions in the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. Every LCMS congregation has received nomination forms for the president and vice presidents of the synod. Please encourage your pastor and congregational leaders to fill out and return these nomination forms before February 20th of 2019. Learn more at issuesetc.org/nominations. issuesetc.org/nominations.